Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Lethal simplicity. I like to score fast. It's hard not to be a Noles fan. Get Florida State back. I want a damn good defense. We're still undefeated. Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Hello, everybody. This is the Unconquered Podcast, and I am Jason Staples. After a rather long hiatus, I'm sure regular listeners have noticed that I haven't put out any episodes in a while, but I am back and ready to get into the swing on some preseason stuff, just in terms of an update on my end of things. Just quite simply, had a combination of not being around, so being in and out of the country, and all over the place, and working on a move, and getting moved from one place to another, all sorts of different things along those ends, plus a few projects that needed to be finished, and then you combine that with a fairly uneventful so far. Got a knock on wood there. Off season for Florida State. There's just not been a whole lot to talk about because we've already talked about the transition to death. We've already talked about what's going to happen in terms of offense offensive and defensive schemes. We've talked about that stuff to death even prior to the end of spring. But now we're starting to get into the preseason, so it's time to step back to the microphone, get myself back plugged in a little bit, and then deliver some goods on this end in the preseason to you all. So glad to be back after a decent little break there. But yeah, actually, by the way, speaking of moving, which again, this has been a nice transition for me and my wife as we've been going through all of the processes from that you need to do to get a house, from the realtor side to the mortgage side to all that stuff. There's a lot there, but I tell you what, if you want the best possible path to all of that in the state of Florida, make sure you contact Luis Marquez, who's a realtor in Jacksonville. If he can't help you out, he'll make sure that he gets you plugged into the right person in your area. Contact him, let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered Podcast. And also, for your mortgage loan, make sure that you go through the folks over at Resolution Home Loans, who will make your life as easy as it can be when you're going through that difficult mortgage loan lending process. And again, if you can't if you're not going through, even in they can do anything in the state of Florida. The Resolution Home Loans, people can do anything in the state of Florida, but they also can refer you to some out-of-state folks as well. So give them a call. Let them know you heard about them from me. Same thing. They also have an online site set up for Florida State affiliated folks. Let them know in the box that you heard about them from this podcast. Definitely helped me out a bunch. But yeah, that's all very close to close to where I've been lately. But I'm not going to do a very long episode this time. I'm still actually in the process of finishing a little bit of that move. So, and also haven't completely caught up and haven't checked in to really get a whole lot of info to share. So not much going on there in that front, but I can talk about a few things that have happened since the last time I recorded. And so we're going to do that pretty quickly in this episode. First things first, and this goes to show how long it's been since I actually put something out. We need to talk a little bit about the Josh Ball situation. I mean, I got a lot of questions about that, about what's going to happen now that Josh Ball is not expected to return to Florida State, that he is no longer with the Florida State football team. You got one of your expected tackles, one of your expected starters at tackle, and one of the few quality bodies at the tackle position on the roster, and probably your best tackle that's gone. And, you know, that's a big deal. This offensive line already had a lot of question marks coming in, and now they got even more. One giant one, and that is what's going to happen at that offensive tackle spot, where previously you could pretty much write Josh Ball in pen. But now at least one of the tackles is going to be super unproven, and really both of them are likely to be question marks coming in. So gotten a lot of questions about what to expect there. I think if things go the way that they should, and the way that the coaching staff, I'm sure, hopes that they will, my guess is, and again, I don't know for sure what's going to happen, because we still have to see how this is all going to play out in practice. We're going to see who stays healthy and all that. But my suspicion is that the way that this is likely to work is that Juwan Williams will be the left tackle. If everything goes well, ideally he's your left tackle. He's, you know, maybe your best athlete in terms of bend and athleticism, along with that length, and he can give you a good left tackle presence in terms of physically. And so, provided he comes in the shape that he needs to and stays healthy through camp and does what he's asked to do, he's probably your best option at left tackle. But the real question is the other tackle after Juwan Williams, and that, again, that presumes a lot out of a young player. But the other guy that I think, if it were me, and what I suspect is going to happen here, the other guy that I think ends up being one of the starting tackles is Derek Kelly, who I think has to be. I think he's really, Alec Eberle's your cornerstone for that group, being the senior starter, being the center, a guy that's actually really had a good offseason, been able to put on some weight, get stronger, finally healthier than he has been. He's really actually looking to be your rock in the middle. But I think the other guy that's really, really pivotal for this group, the guy that has to have a good year for this group to have a good year, is Derek Kelly. If he stays healthy, he's one of those guys you can play all four of the other positions. And as I look at the roster, they've got other bodies that you feel comfortable with at guard and center. So even if Eberle goes down, you feel okay with, say, Bavion Johnson coming in at center. You've got Dickerson and Minshew who can maul at the guard positions. You've got Martinez who can come in at one of the guard positions. Bavion Johnson can also playing some guard. So you got really five bodies in addition to Kelly, who is mostly at guard in the spring. In addition to Kelly, you've got five bodies that you feel comfortable with at guard. And then you look at tackle and you got Williams. And you did have Ball. But after that, you get to Arnold, who still needs to lose a little bit of weight. You got Bello, who, listen, when he was coming in as a freshman, when he was coming in out of high school, his potential was off the charts, but he's had a rough go of things in terms of injuries and gained a little bit of extra weight and just didn't quite look like he needed to at the tackle position, was actually playing guard more under the last regime. So listen, if he can step in and make the leap, he's physically capable. The talent's there, but just not sure about that. And then you get to the freshman, and you don't want one of those freshmen playing. So to me, the other guy that has starting tackle experience and has had success at that tackle spot is Derek Kelly. So for me, for my money, and again, I'm going to do some position previews as we get into fall camp. But for me, I think your best case scenario, if everything goes well in camp, is that your starting five goes across from left to right. Juwan Williams, Landon Dickerson, Alec Eberle, Cole Minshew, and Derek Kelly. And if that group can stay healthy and stay on the field together, I actually think that could be a quality offensive line, a good offensive line. And by the time you get to the midseason level, they could be a really good offensive line. There's some talented guys on there. And with a good offseason, you're looking at guys that actually have, these are formerly highly regarded recruits. They're guys that have the body to be able to play at not just the Power Five level, but to play among to compete with the better bodies on the defensive line opposite them that they're going to play. It's just a matter of, are they going to be able to get them in the right spots to get them to gel as a group and then to stay healthy. And that last bit is so important. If you look at the programs that have had a lot of offensive success and championship programs over the in recent years, you're looking at teams where their offensive lines generally stayed healthy. I mean, go back to 2013. It's the same kind of thing. You've got to stay healthy up front. You've got to have you've got to minimize how many starts and how much you're messing around with the chemistry there. But again, if that's what happens, I think you feel pretty comfortable with that. And I think if you told the coaching staff that would be your starting five and that they could have them all year, they'd take that in a heartbeat. But again, so much that you can't really count on in terms of that. All right. I got a couple questions here as well that have come in since I've not been recording. The one that is most frequent always revolves around the quarterback position. And so I'll go ahead and get to that. But first, before I do that, I do want to thank my other sponsor as well. And that is Nathan Forrest from Garage Makeovers, the top-rated garage remodeling company in South Florida. So if you're in South Florida and you need anything done in your garage, painting and drywall work, overhead storage, polyaspartic flooring, which I highly recommend, cabinets, shelving, slot wall, accessories, anything like that, go ahead and contact Nathan at Garage Makeovers. All that information is in the show notes. So, thanks to Garage Makeovers, we're now going to talk a little bit about the quarterback position. Now, I was pretty clear early in the spring that I thought that Blackman would probably be the starter based on what I'd heard both before the coaching staff got there and after in terms of Blackman's leadership, some of the things that he brought to the table there, some of the issues behind the scenes with DeAndre Francois. And then I got down there and I watched practice. We all saw the spring game. And, you know, there's been some other things that have, even with me being more or less out of touch, more so than usual, there've been some things that have leaked out in terms of what's going on in the program and what Taggart thinks of his quarterbacks as well. And as of right now, I think I've flipped my expectation. I expect that, all things being equal, the most likely outcome at this point is that DeAndre Francois is the starter this year. A couple reasons for that. One is that when I saw them in practice and I got to watch both of them throw, and then saw the spring game, right now, Francois is just further along as a thrower, and it's visible. It is very much visible in practice. That's something I didn't think before I saw that before I saw him in person, and before I saw the spring game. I thought maybe that would be maybe go the other way even. And Blackman still may throw a better deep ball, but Francois does, I think, still right now, I would say that he's probably the better thrower at this stage. And again, the summer may change that a little bit, but my suspicion is that's going to end up basically going into Francois's favor, that he's going to be the more consistent and better thrower. And in Willie Taggart's offense, you're going to hear a lot about Willie Taggart running the quarterback and how much he runs. Taggart's not going to run the quarterback a ton. You're looking at, you know, 5 to 7 carries a game with the quarterback. And most of that is just as a constraint. So you'd better honor the quarterback. You better make sure that the quarterback is accounted for. That's really what this is about. Now, against the better teams, against a Clemson, maybe Clemson may force you to run the quarterback, you know, 12, 13 times. That's a little different, but most of the year, although this schedule may force it a little bit more too, because they're playing, this is a ridiculous schedule, but most of the time he's not looking at what the quarterback brings to the table as a runner. And again, if it came down to that, pre-injury, Francois was the better runner too. But generally speaking, what you're going to be looking for, what the staff is looking for, is first and foremost, is which guy is the leader, which guy has the respect of his teammates. Previously, I would have said that's certainly going with Blackman. I don't think that's changed necessarily, but with Francois really getting on his best behavior and all that, that is not as big of a runaway. And then the next thing is how good a thrower is the quarterback. That's what they're looking for. because this is going to be a very run heavy offense, and they've got backs and receivers with jet sweep action and all that stuff. They've got a lot of other ball carriers that can carry the football, and they're going to be giving, they're going to be handing the ball off to the backs a bunch. They need to have a guy that can threaten you downfield, and particularly they're going to get vertical. They want to be able to throw in those seams. They want to be able to threaten you down the field, and you've got to be able to hit those balls to make teams pay when they try to load up. They're going to spread you out and force you to choose between covering those downfield seams or committing enough to the run to keep them from averaging 5 yards a carry. Again, it's basically the Stanford offense in the running game, just run from a four wide receiver spread set in a lot of ways. I mean, that's really what you're doing. It's basically Baylor's, a lot of Baylor's formational stuff. They're doing a lot more of that. And a lot of spread stuff, you know, going back to Clemson and some Chad Morris stuff in terms of that. But then they're going to bludgeon you in the running game. And then basically the counter to that, you have to be balanced. You have to be able to threaten teams vertically from those wide splits and from those spread formations, or teams are still just going to be able to load the box. So you have to be able to throw it. That's going to be the thing that's going to differentiate it. And again, from what I've seen, the little that I've heard, I right now would probably think that the odds favor, I think the odds probably favor Francois just a little bit. But again, we'll see. And Blackman is certainly not out of it. I think it's going to be a legitimate competition, and they're going to see which guy is more consistent and which guy moves the offense in the fall. But like I said, at this stage, my expectation is that it's going to be Francois, and you know that Blackman will then take over after Francois is done. That's my expectation, but we'll see. All right, let's see. Beyond that, I was asked also about what position groups I expect the most improvement from, and the individual in each group that improves the most. I'm actually going to get to that question a bit more in the position previews. As for the position group I expect the biggest improvement from, I actually think there's two groups there that I expect the most improvement from, and they're actually related. One is the cornerback position. I think the corners are going to be much better. And already in the spring, when I saw them this spring, both in person and in the spring game, you could see, this has been a complaint of mine for 5 years or 4 years, that they did not look technique-wise like I expect Florida State corners to look particularly in press man, and also in certain pass off concepts, you know, banjo techniques and things like that. They look sloppy a lot of times at the corner position. No more. And I think that's going to pay off. I think the corner position is going to be very improved. And that's probably the one that I'm gonna go with the most. Beyond that, I think the wide receiver position is also going to be noticeably better because of the maturity of a couple guys getting healthy, and then also I think the way that they're going to be using these guys in this particular system is going to suit their skill sets pretty well. So I expect to see some improvement there. And those guys go at each other. Those two different groups go after each other every day in practice. So as one improves, the other's also having to get better as well. So I think both of those groups are going to be the ones that are going to be the ones that improve, that show the most improvement. And as for the one individual that I think is going to show the most improvement between those two groups, I'm still going with Keith Gavin. I was told he was the best wide receiver during the spring, despite all of the hype around, and deserved hype around Tamorian Terry and DJ Matthews. Gavin was the best wide receiver in the spring, again according to the people I've talked to. So they've been very high on him. So I think he's the guy that is probably most improved. Now, if we're talking about the most production over the past, then it might be Terry, because he's coming off of a zero and he's going to be he's going to have a lot of production this year, or Matthews, who had very little. I mean, you could almost pick one of the receivers and depending on how you define improvement. If you're talking about stat improvement, any one of those guys probably could qualify. But I think Gavin is the guy that I'm going to circle at this stage. But we shall see. All right. Well, this has been a very short update. I will get some other episodes posted here in the next couple weeks as I get more situated after this move, and get a little bit more plugged in and get some sense of what to talk about and what's actually happening. We'll talk a little bit of recruiting, not so much who I expect them to get right now. That's not really where I'm spending my time, but I will spend some time breaking down some of the players on the board and what I think they do bring to the table. But we'll do some position previews. We'll talk about some scheme stuff here in the near future. Looking forward to being back in the swing of things. As always, thanks for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please pass it along to somebody else. Spread the word, expand the audience. 5-star reviews help a ton. And if you're not a subscriber, subscribe. And if you are a subscriber and you have any sort of need related to the sponsor of this show, let them know you heard about them from me, and that'll help a bunch. But until the next time, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.